Good morning, Chelvest and Caldergarten, Chelston Rise. It's Friday the 24th of April, and this is Adrian Dale with a daily podcast. Now, a word of warning for you. This podcast will be much longer than normal. I make no apologies for this. Some stories just can't be shortened. Get yourself a coffee, sit back and relax. Firstly, I must say a happy birthday to Jim May of Dutchy Close and also to Brenda May, his wife of 54 years, whose birthday is actually on Sunday. Now, Jim and Brenda might have been married 54 years, but neither of them can say for certain when they met. They were both born in the same hospital in Somerset, just one day apart. So it's possible that their cots were actually next to each other in the hospital nursery. They certainly met at the age of six, and they started the same Sunday school together just one week apart. And they're still together today. How good is that? That's staying power. Which one deserves the medal? Who knows? But happy birthday to you both. Today is a special day for Brenda, as she can boast that once again, she's actually younger than Jim. Now, thank you to everyone who managed to overcome our technical problems yesterday to listen to the broadcast. We had some great feedback on the podcast. The overwhelming view is yes to a flagpole. However, there are many different views on where it or even they should be sited. There was a strong view that we needed at least two or maybe even three flagpoles. Well, now that I've lit the blue touch paper, I will retire and let the parish council sort it out. That's what they're there for, after all. Now, the reaction to Miss Mary Helen Simpson, MBE of Chelveston, was fantastic. What a girl. The general conclusion was that the lady was a star and that we should be proud to live in the same village as she did. Jenny Harwood made a special journey to the churchyard to spend 40 minutes contemplating the world and the contributions she made. It was a peaceful moment for her and one of contemplating the impact that one single individual could have. When she did this, Jenny didn't know that she would be in the spotlight today. Today is the story about Lieutenant Colonel Glenn Harwood MBE, or Councillor Glenn Harwood MBE, depending upon whether you focus on his military career or his civic service. Now, I said that Miss Mary Simpson MBE of Chelveston was a one-woman store. Well, Glenn Harwood was a veritable hurricane. Glenn and Jenny first moved to this village in 2004, but I met Glenn in the spring of 2005 at a beer festival in Yeldon. I'd walked across the fields to Yeldon to have a few beers without worrying about driving back, and I collected my tray of six half pints and went outside to the beer garden. I like to savour as many beers as possible during a tasting session. Now, I was surprised to find Glenn sitting there with his dog Five. I'd seen Glenn around the village but not had chance to chat to him before. Now was the chance. In chatting, Glenn mentioned that he'd recently retired from the army. According to him, he'd been serving at a local communications base in Bedfordshire, but it was only later that I found out that he was base commander. I was certainly interested in stories about the army, and I said to Glenn that I'd become hooked during the Northern Ireland Troubles. I asked Glenn whether he'd served there. Oh, yes, he said. He'd spent some time there, but it was no big deal, and most soldiers don't tend to talk about service on their own soil. So I left it at that. But it was months later, once I found out that Glenn had got an MBE, whether I wondered whether it was his service in Northern Ireland that gave him the MBE. But it wasn't. It was only recently I found out that Glenn had spent 5 years in Northern Ireland, and all of it undercover with special forces. I then said to Glenn, had he served in the Falklands? He said, oh yes, he said, but he needed more beer before he could talk. He came back with a tray of pints. He said in his line of business, no one drank halves. It was pints or nothing. So he started on the pints. Oh yes, Glenn Harwood had been in the Falklands. 1 week after the invasion, he was on a Norwegian ferry sailing south. He was part of the advanced operations team. They were landed on the blind side of the island and tasked with establishing a forward communications base in the hills to help recapture the islands. His job was to yomp through the hills overnight for several days until they could safely set up the comms post. Now, as you know, our son Johnny is in the army. serving in the same corps as Glenn, the Royal Signals. They have the annual Lanyard Challenge, when the soldiers attempt to march 40 miles in 40 hours, carrying 40-pound rucksacks. The first couple of hours are easy. It's the rest that are the killer. When Johnny did it, he suffered stress fractures to his feet, but he still got through. Now, Glenn had been warned by his quartermaster that he must not lose any of his kit, or he would pay personally from his wages. He was carrying his own clothes, his own rations, his own comms kit, and all the operational kit for his brigade. It was all too much for a nighttime hike behind enemy lines. So Glenn stripped. He wore only the clothes that didn't smell, and everything else he didn't need was put into a plastic bag which he buried. Now, when the conflict ended, Glenn went back and dug up his plastic bag. He wrapped it again and then posted it back to Jenny in the UK. She hadn't heard from him for 2 months, but the first parcels he received contained a warning: do not open these bags. And like a good army wife, she didn't. So when Glenn returned, he was able to take the fetid mass of stinking clothes back to his quartermaster. Not even a sock was missing, and Glenn's paycheck was intact. Well, our pints ended, and I said to Glenn that I must go home. He asked me to look after his dog Five while he went to the gents, and then I could go. But when Glenn came back from the gents, he had a jug of Scrumpy with him. This was a 7.8% jug of Scrumpy. Glenn was from Devon, and he said this was a real man's drink. But frankly, I only managed half a pint before I had to go. It took me 1.5 hours to stagger my way back to Chelveston, and I'm embarrassed to say that I threw up twice on the way in the hedges. I was a mess. But as I passed the Star and Garter, the beer goggles told me quite clearly that one more pint and a packet of crisps was just the cure I needed. So I went in. And who was sitting at the bar? Oh, yes. Glenn Harwood, Jenny and Five. Glenn had finished the Scrumpy, realised it was opening time in the pub back home, and had called Jenny to pick him up and take him home. That man was a legend and well out of my league. Now, when I got back and was sober, I researched Glenn Harwood and was surprised to find that Staff Sergeant Glenn Harwood had been present at the Argentine surrender on the Falklands, and that his signature was actually on the surrender document. He was the most senior non-commissioned officer present. And again, I wondered whether his service in the Falklands was the reason for the MBE. But it wasn't. I talked to Jenny about it later, and she told me that Glenn was actually one of the team that abseiled into the Argentine compound on the day of the surrender to take control. They didn't know it then, but the compound was heavily mined. They were all lucky to escape with their lives. But in Glenn's words, so what? They survived. Why worry? Next. Glenn never divulged to me what his MBE was for. It was just really no big deal for him. But yesterday, Jenny told me. Glenn also fought in the First Gulf War. He was again part of the advanced brigade who had to set up the communications facilities for the generals to command the action. Now, the army hadn't fought in these conditions in modern times, and Glenn devised the new military doctrines for such a campaign. He called it the BFT, the Big Effing Tent. He kitted out a whole series of armoured troop carriers with advanced communications kit, and they drove into enemy territory overnight. They would then circle the wagons, and the team would erect a huge tent over the top for the generals and brigadiers to create their command centre, often behind enemy lines. It was this that Glenn got his MBE for, not the shiny shoes in the army. Now, Glenn's attachment to Special Forces meant that he really enjoyed parachuting, a hobby that actually Jenny joined him in. And Glenn was part of the Royal Signals Blue Helmet display team. Unfortunately, one of his displays went disastrously wrong, and he crashed to the ground, breaking his sternum and 25 other bones in his body. His heart stopped 3 times on the way to hospital. It could have killed him. But again, in his words, it might have killed him, but he didn't. He survived. Next, carry on. Glenn was skydiving again within 6 months. Glenn's last skydive before leaving Cyprus was a special one. Him and his best mate Pedro decided on a naked skydive as their finale. They even persuaded our Jenny to join in. Now, naked skydiving is strictly forbidden, not surprisingly. So the three of them wore jumpsuits in the plane going up, but had nothing underneath. They stripped off just before jumping. The ground crew had a huge shock as they saw them descending. And Jenny said to me that more things flapped that day than she knew she had as she plunged towards the ground. Now, as the ground crew slapped the blokes on the back, Jenny landed a few seconds later. She'd had the good sense to pack a pair of knickers in her helmet to preserve her modesty on landing. Now, I ask you, who deserved the MBE that day? So life in retirement must have seemed quite tame for Glenn. And it wasn't long before he joined the parish council and made a huge impact. And then when Barry Saunston died, Glenn took his place as district councillor. And when Derek Lawson retired, Glenn took his place as county councillor. Glenn was definitely our man of choice. He represented our village brilliantly and he steered our district and county in a way that'll be hard to better. During all of this, his broken back continued to play up and he had many operations. And then he was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer and was given 3 months to live. He beat that too. And as he said to me, yes, I might have died, but I didn't. Next, carry on. A few days before he died, Glenn was at the offices of East Northamptonshire Council on the 11th of November. And all staff marched out of the offices at 11 a.m. in front of the flagpole. An awkward silence fell. Now, Glenn was once a regimental sergeant major, and after a few seconds, his voice rang out. They shall grow not old as we that are left grow old. It was a perfect tribute to the fallen. Now, I was sitting in my office overlooking the field where the air ambulance landed on the day that Glenn died. I saw it land, and I just knew that a legend in his lifetime had ended. So Glenn Harwood, MBE, Councillor and Colonel, we will remember you. Thank you.